you ever heard of digital currencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and buzzwords like blockchain, cryptocurrencies, and mining? Don't know what it all means or how to get started? Well, at Let's Talk Crypto, we break it all down.
All right, welcome back, listener. We're going with a little bit of a different format here coming up to Christmas. This is a very special series we're going to call the 12 Coins of Christmas.
For the 12 Coins of Christmas, Barry said to me, which coins to buy?
Welcome back to the Let's Talk Crypto podcast for part 6 and last episode of our series on the 12 Coins of Christmas special. I trust you've enjoyed our previous episodes, and today we'll be closing it off with reviews on IOTA and Zcash. This entire series has been about the rumored coins that we'll be adding to exchanges in the new year. Tom Galeski here as always, and joining me on the crypto roller coaster is Barry Moore.
Whee! Hey, everybody.
Hey, mate. How you doing? It sounds like you're having fun.
It's good. It's great, man. The last couple of days have been awesome.
Yeah, awesomely spectacular. Just wow. It's been a very interesting ride. That's why today it's definitely a roller coaster. So rather than wasting any more time on the roller coaster fun, I'll pass the reindeer reins to Barry to go through IOTA. Go for it, mate. It's all yours.
I will, but I need some sleigh bells, mate.
Really? I can do that for you. Here we go.
Oh, love the sleigh bells. All right. So this one is really interesting. I find this whole thing, this whole coin and this whole idea super interesting and super intriguing. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a success or it's going to go anywhere, but it's super interesting to look into. The coin I'm going to talk about is called IOTA. And just for the facts and figures, IOTA is currently ranked number 7 on CoinMarketCap. It's got a market cap of about $10.5 billion at the time of recording, and it's going for a price of about $4. And just put an asterisk next to that because we're going to come back and talk about what that actually means in a second. But even with the recent carnage, it's still up about 3% in the last week. So it's been getting a lot of attention, and it pumped probably about 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. It had a really big major pump, settled back down from there. And then obviously with the carnage and the bloodbath in the altcoin market in the last couple of days or last day, it's dropped back again, but it seems to be recovering and motoring north once again. Again, this is one of those platform or utility type tokens that's not really a spending currency. Again, you're not going to buy groceries with it. You're not paying your electric bill with it. However, your house may pay your electric bill with it, which is a really interesting thing. IOTA is a totally different beast. It's focused on providing secure communications and payments between machines in the Internet of Things. And it was started in April of 2015. By a couple of dudes, I can't pronounce their name. Sorry. Sorry, guys. One of them's Norwegian, one of them's Russian, and I'm just not up for that at the moment. But yeah, so the idea is that IOTA provides a network of near instantaneous free transactions or even microtransactions at a machine to machine level. So what does that all really mean? What that really means is their vision of the Internet of Things in the world to come. And if you haven't heard that term, Internet of Things, we're talking about Internet connected devices, sensors, machines. So your car is connected to the internet now these days. All the modern cars, you know, may have an internet connection. Your refrigerator might have an internet connection. You might have a weather sensor on your house or some sort of sensor on the solar panels on top of your house. So all these sensors and all these machines that are connected to the internet have value. They're gathering data, they're processing data, they're doing a job, performing a function. And there may be another person or another machine that wants access to the information that that machine is gathering or providing. Think of it this way. So say you've got, you know, your Tesla, your electric car or whatever, and it's got all the computers and sensors on board, and it's gathering all the information about your mileage and how far you can go on a charge and how effective the battery is and what your average speed is and your average time between service intervals, et cetera, et cetera. And it's recording all that information. So if you're an auto manufacturer and you want to design a new car, for example, you would love to have all that information from all those cars that have been on the road for the last couple of years. So you could pay to download that data from those millions of cars or millions of sensors so that you can have this big giant data pool of data when you go to design your car. And you would pay for that. You would pay the car. So your car could earn money by selling its data to an auto manufacturer, for example, or a tire maker or whatever. And your car would have a wallet and it would get paid. And then when you go to the, you know, the charging station, your car could actually pay for the charge. Or imagine Uber, when a driverless car shows up, you pay for your ride. That goes into the car's wallet. When the car needs some service, it can pay for its own service out of its own wallet. So the idea behind IOTA is it's these microtransactions between devices, between everything. And they're, in order for that to work, they have to be very, very small transactions, and they have to be near instant, and they have to be free. Obviously, if there's a, like Bitcoin, if there's a $30 transaction fee to download the information from a weather station in your backyard, no one's going to want to do it. So IOTA set out to set up this Internet of Things micropayment network. And one of the interesting things about it is that it doesn't use the blockchain. And we've talked about blockchain before, but the blockchain's very kind of linear. From the first day of trading to the last day of trading, it just goes kind of in a straight line of all the transactions that happen. Okay, that's great. But that blockchain, as we've seen, is kind of slow and inefficient. IOTA uses something else called directed acyclic graph technology. Now, if that sounds like a mouthful, it's because it is. That's why they just call it the tangle. So you'll hear people talking about the tangle, IOTA and the tangle. So if you can imagine a blockchain's linear, a tangle is like a network that goes out randomly in every direction. So, you know, there's one transaction in the middle and that spokes out to another six transactions and they spoke out to another six transactions and so on until you get this giant spider web of transactions going in every direction, which is supposed to make it super fast and super efficient and not suffer from the slowness and long transaction times that plague blockchain at the moment. The other thing is it's designed to be free because in order for you to validate your transaction, you have to validate two transactions behind you. The system will assign you two random transactions for you to validate in order to put your transaction in the system. And then once your transaction's into the system, somebody else will validate yours. So you'll have transactions pinging themselves all over the network in a big kind of spider web fashion going in every direction, which is supposed to speed things up quite a bit. And then the other unique thing about IOTA as well is if you decide to buy IOTA and you want to get involved, when you go to buy it, you're buying it, since it's designed for microtransactions, you're buying it at the tiniest level, which is an IOTA. An IOTA would be similar in equivalency to a Satoshi. You know, a Satoshi is the lowest denomination of Bitcoin, down to 8 decimal places. And it's almost worthless. It takes like, at the time of recording, it takes like about 7,000 Satoshis to make up a single US dollar, right? So each Satoshi is less than a cent. So IOTA is the same. So an IOTA is tiny, tiny, tiny. And if you're going to buy in, you're buying a million IOTA at a time. So when you go onto the exchange and you see $4 to buy IOTA, that's $4 to buy a million IOTA. So you'll end up with, if you spend $8, you'll end up with 2 million IOTA. So it's pretty interesting. Again, it's one of these platforms that's still kind of in the development phase. They're kind of out of the development phase and they're running some kind of test projects on it at the moment, but it's not really in production at the moment. So IOTA transactions are free, regardless of the size of the transaction. Confirmation times are fast. The number of transactions the system can handle simultaneously is theoretically unlimited. And so the system can scale. But again, that hasn't met the real world yet, so we don't really know. And they claim that the bigger the network becomes, the faster it becomes, because you have that spider web getting faster and you have those transactions pinging around everywhere faster as well. One thing they have done recently, though, is they've launched a public marketplace for data generated by third-party sensors. So all those sensors around here, think of traffic cameras, think of weather sensors, think of anything that's out there gathering data that's connected to the internet. They're putting together a data marketplace. So you're somebody who wants to buy that data, you can go there and buy it using IOTA. And the suppliers of that data can be paid in IOTA as well. So the objective is to monetize this exploding market for data being generated by all these devices, and which is growing exponentially. So at the moment, it's estimated that it's 2.5 quintillion bytes of data being generated every day, and that's growing exponentially as well. So there is a bright future for IOTA. I think if they can pull it off, it will be a really interesting project. But it's one of these things, again, it's not a spending currency and it's not really production proven yet. So you're taking a bit of a punt if you're getting it into IOTA. But if you find it interesting, for certain, go check it out. They don't really have a public roadmap on the website, so you might have to do a bit of digging if you want to find out where they're going with it as well. But they do have a website. They've got a Steam channel, Slack, all the typical things. They trade on only kind of two major exchanges, which is Bittrex and Binance. And you can find all the information if you want to learn more over at iota.org.
Wow, that's great stuff, Barry. I think coming from a technical background and having things talk to things, that's scary cool, man. I like the sound of that. It sounds very interesting.
Cool. Yeah, it does sound super interesting. I hope they make it work and I hope it takes off. It'll be a super interesting project to keep an eye on. I'm also excited to hear about what you got to talk about because I know nothing about this one as well. I've done no research, so I'm eager to hear all about Zcash, brother.
All right. Well, let's get into Zcash then. I think the best place to start with Zcash is they've got a slogan that's on the homepage of their website. The website is actually z.cash. So no .com or anything, but z.cash. And the first thing you see is says, Internet money. Bitcoin and most cryptocurrencies expose your entire payment history to the public. Zcash is the first open, permissionless cryptocurrency that can fully protect the privacy of transactions using zero-knowledge cryptography. Not really a mouthful, but it really sums up what this coin does. So what I'll do is I'll go through some of the facts and figures first, and then we'll get into what makes this coin so different. So Zcash itself, it essentially sits in what we call the privacy coin category. So you've got things like Monero, Dash is in there, and PivX. Zcash was released October 28, 2016, so it's actually been out for over a year now. And essentially, the algorithm is exactly the same as the blockchain built on proof of work, but it has another layer on top of it, which gives us all the security elements. It's currently sitting with a market cap of $1.6 billion and sits on position 21 at coinmarketcap.com. And it's trading at $564 US per coin. Now, the current circulating supply is under 3 million, but it's speculated that the total supply will be the same as Bitcoin. But due to the anonymous nature of the coin, it's actually difficult to audit the distribution. So like I said, the website is z.cash and the ticker is ZEC. Now, this is different to Zencash, which is Z-E-N. So just understand it's a point of difference. Zencash is actually a fork of Zcash, but Zcash is one of the first out in this space. It's available on some of the major exchanges like BitThumb, Bitfinex, HitBTC, Bittrex, and Poloniex. So it does have a very well-established credibility at this point. What makes this so different? If we consider how the current Bitcoin blockchain works, right? For the most part, people feel that crypto is private as the address that we use don't match our names, unlike traditional bank accounts where you actually trace the owner of the bank account. Bitcoin addresses don't have a link to a name or identity. However, all transactions on the Bitcoin network are recorded. So if you receive Bitcoin from someone, you can actually trace when those particular Bitcoins were created, how much is in the other person's wallet, yeah, I know, even if when the funds are transferred again and where they go to from there. So while this is a great feature of the decentralized open blockchain of Bitcoin, it also means that there is some visibility on your transactions. If you happen to have a large amount of Bitcoin, it could make you a target for hackers or even as a business, some visibility on who you're actually trading with and potential profits inside your crypto wallet. So let's say you send some Bitcoin to a friend. They could actually look into your address and see how much Bitcoin you have in your wallet. So that could make for some interesting conversations around the next family get-together, huh? In that respect, people want to have a little bit more privacy. You can get around that issue by having multiple wallets and switching between them, but that can really get complicated. So this is where Zcash can help. As I said previously, there are a few other players in the market that actually do privacy, like Monero, like Dash, like PivX, but they all have different pros and cons. So today we'll go through some of the benefits of Zcash. So the next thing that went through my mind was, how does Zcash actually achieve this? So it actually uses a thing called ZK-SNARKs technology. Now that's short for zero knowledge proof. Basically, I can prove to you something using a secret, but you have no idea or knowledge about what that secret is. Let me explain it. Let's say I had a Christmas box, a Christmas gift, and it comes with two separate keys. Now, key one, it closes the box and locks it. Key two actually opens the box. So if I was to give Barry the box and the key that closes and locks the box, I have a secret key or a method to see what is inside the box. So you can trust me, right? Well, you may not believe me. So this is the verification of the transaction process, right? So I can prove to you by you putting something in the box, sending it over to me, and I can tell you what is in the box. The zero knowledge part is you don't know anything about my key or secret that I used to access the box. So this allows Zcash to balance the ledger without revealing the parties or the value of the transactions. So all the metadata of that transaction is encrypted. Now, unlike Bitcoin, transactions are less than 1 kilobyte in size and take 6 milliseconds to verify. So it is super duper fast. Now, as far as the whole protocol is concerned, it shields details about the transaction. So who you are, what you bought, and how much you spent. It's essentially being called the SSL layer for Bitcoin. The secret key can be used to reveal certain information if you like, so you can choose per transaction what bits of that information that you want to make publicly available. So you're in control of what you want to display. As far as the coin's concerned, we can see how it can really be applied in real life transactions, yeah? Now, I just want to talk about the team a little bit. So Zcash and its development team is sort of has more of a corporational structure, meaning that it's got a CEO, it's got advisors, and it's got investors. So it's very much a corporation-style structure. Zuku Wilcox is the founder and has 20 years experience in cryptography and decentralized systems. And he also founded a business called Least Authority. It's a simple, secure cloud storage system. Behind the scenes, they have scientists and engineers ensuring that the protocol development stays on track. As far as their advisors are concerned, Gavin Andreessen, Vitalik Buterin, names that we've heard in this crypto space before, and they've got some big hitter investors. Pantera Capital, Vambushi Capital, Roger Ver, Vlad Zenfir, Barry Silbert, and Eric Voorhees. So you can see we've got a really good solid team behind it. It's an established company. It's an established corporation. It's been in the crypto space for a bit over a year now. And with a market cap of $1.6 billion, again, as far as the security and crypto space, these guys are one of the major players. So as far as privacy is concerned, this seems like a solid candidate. So as always, I mean, use this review as my opinion. So looking from the outside, Zcash looks like a good alternative as a coin in the privacy space.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting, Tom. I'll have to have a look at Zcash.
Yeah, mate, it's a very interesting project. That finishes up our 12 Coins of Christmas special. It's been a hectic week, not only putting these reviews together, but the crypto network has been on an absolutely wild ride. So on behalf of myself and the Let's Talk Crypto podcast, I would love to wish you, your friends and family an awesome Christmas break, and I cannot wait for 2018. Next week, we'll be covering on how to keep your crypto safe, so stay tuned for that. And also, to get into the Christmas spirit of having fun, I've included some of our bloopers at the end of the episode. So if you want to have a laugh at our expense, just stick around right to the very end. And I cannot wait to talk with you all next week.
Yeah, we'll see you all on the other side of Christmas. Stay safe, stay happy. And if you found this information useful and you want to leave us a present, head over to iTunes and leave us a rating review on the podcast. That'll help us get it out to a wider audience. Happy holidays, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, bye everyone.
Thanks for listening to Let's Talk Crypto Podcast. You can find the links, show notes, and all the latest cryptocurrency news over at schoolofcrypto.com.
That'll do. That'll do, mate. That'll do. Guess what? You know that joke that you did yesterday? The snowman joke, whatever the hell that was? I'm going to tag that onto the end of the podcast for tomorrow's release.
What's the difference between a snowman and a snowwoman? The snowballs.
Oh, great joke, Barry. Awesome, Barry. Great.
All right, man. we're both just punch drunk and sleep deprived, aren't we? Okay, let's go.
Take me out to the ballpark.
Yeah. Hold on. Website.
Sorry, I'll just keep it in. You there? Over. Oh, you got muted. I can't hear you. There you go. This is really cool, Barry. This is awesome. I love this. So I'm guessing the next thing that went through my hind, really?
Yeah. Your hind, mate. Love your hind. Don't let anybody tell you it's not good.
Leave it alone, dude. Just leave it alone. Hindy. Eric Voorhees. Voorhees. How cool is that, dude? What do you think about that, man? That's great.
And the Let's Talk the podcast.
As always, please use my review as your opinion. That was cool, dude. That was excellent.
Double espresso rampage.
I'm thinking to say something a little bit more dramatic than that. Oh, that sounds like a tricky project. Okay, I'll do that my bit again. There's something that I feel like we've missed something.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
It's not a tumor.
There's proof of... excuse me.
Yeah, you're going to rap? You want me to rap? What do you want to do? No, I'm ready. I'm ready, dude. You can have some drums. All I can say is this, man. Yeah, buddy! Yeah, buddy! Now we're adding to the blooper reel. Cool. Yeah, welcome back to another episode of whatever this intro music is. It's pretty hot, man. I could do a rap, it's Christmas time. Everybody sing like a rhyme. Really? Yeah. I might put that in the bloopers part. I could do rhyme, I could do rhyme. Can you do a rhyme? What the hell was that?
Boom.